In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters, on this feast day of St. John of Kronstadt. And today's gospel, ironically, was just read last Sunday, so we're getting a double dose of Luke chapter 6. And of course, St. John of Kronstadt really embodied this love of God, you know, that he loved, you know, beyond those that, he didn't just love those that loved him, he loved the poor, he loved, you know, even evildoers, he helped everyone. And I wanted to just talk a little bit about St. John's life, very briefly. I mean, it would take a long time to really encompass his life, but we'll just give a really short synopsis here. St. John of Kronstadt was born in Russia in 1829. His father had served as a priest, and his grandfather had served as a priest, and his father was a reader at their church. And by the time he was 10, his parents sent him to a parochial school, but he did very poorly, and he was last in his class. He found it very difficult to read. He really could not learn how to read. And his father made very little money. This really grieved St. John of Kronstadt that his father was spending all this money for him to go to this parochial school, and here he was doing so poorly. So he got down on his knees and prayed to God fervently and just begged God to help him so he could learn. And he said he felt as though a veil lifted from his eyes, and suddenly he could just read, you know, the next day. And then he started doing better and became one of the best in his class. And when he later went on to seminary, he actually went on to be the top of his entire class when he graduated. So he is eventually married to the daughter of a priest and was himself ordained as a priest in 1855 at the age of 26. Shortly afterwards, St. John was called to serve in the city of Kronstadt. This is a naval base, and it was a very rough place with a lot of crime and vice. And St. John set to work to minister to the poor, giving generously of what little he had. He was very poor, actually. And even sometimes returning home barefoot, having given away his shoes to someone in need. Once a righteous woman came to him asking him to pray for someone who was critically ill. St. John, on his way to church, promised to commemorate the person at the Divine Liturgy, but she insisted that he go at once, as the sick one did not have much time. So St. John reluctantly agreed, and the woman told him that he must pray it as he had never prayed before. And he did for a long time, and the sick man completely recovered his health. St. John later recounted that this was a turning point, as he had never fully realized the power that was available through the priesthood and through fervent prayer. In addition to his duties as a priest, St. John was also a school teacher, and he was inspired to form what became known as the House of Industry, which provided a school for children and, you know, job training for the poor and the indigent, a library, living quarters, a medical clinic, an orphanage, and many other services. Each day, St. John would pray early in the morning for a short time in preparation for his day, and by the time he walked out his front door, there would be a huge crowd waiting for him. Often those who were well-to-do would donate money and valuables to help support his work. Once, a wealthy woman gave him a bag of precious jewels that were worth a fortune. At the same time, a poor woman cried out asking for his help, and St. John, without hesitation, handed her the entire bag of jewels. St. John would serve the Divine Liturgy with such devotion that literally thousands of people would crowd into the large church to participate. In some cases, when he would travel, crowds of up to 60,000 people would be there to see him. He kept constant watch over his spiritual life and recorded his struggles and observations, which have been published under the title My Life in Christ, which we'd happen to have a copy of in our library if anyone's interested to see it. Its pages are filled with profound and deep spiritual insights, often emphasizing Christ's love for us and our need for repentance. The miracles and great wonders that St. John accomplished were very numerous and often occurred around the Divine Liturgy. In one case, a man was dangerously ill for 9 days with a severe stomach illness. The doctors were unable to do anything for him. This man came to the Divine Liturgy and with faith that God would help him, and with the help also of St. John's prayers, received Holy Communion and was completely healed. He later recounted that he witnessed many miraculous recoveries among the faithful from various illnesses, swift, even instant recovery of the lame, blind, deaf, and others with chronic ailments. In 1901, St. John beheld a vision in which St. Seraphim of Sarov appeared to him and revealed to him much about what was to come soon in the Bolshevik Revolution. and also glimpses into the future when the Antichrist would come. It's an edifying and sobering vision that was recorded for our benefit. And you can find that, you know, easily on the internet, the vision of St. John of Kronstadt of the Apocalypse. St. John reposed in 1908 at the age of 81. And I wanted to just read a brief account of his glorification as a saint, because it's really quite remarkable and kind of ties in with us here, because it took place in America, ironically, despite the fact that he was a Russian saint. Thanks to Archbishop John Maximovich, at the end of the year 1964, there occurred a major event in the Russian Church, the canonization of Father John of Kronstadt. The Church in the Soviet Union had not been able to canonize this 19th and early 20th century wonder worker because he had been an avowed monarchist, had spoken out vehemently against social and, you know, communist currents, and had even prophesied the bloody revolution. So in other words, the communist government was, you know, oppressing the church, and so they wouldn't hear of, you know, them glorifying St. John of Kronstadt as a saint who was opposed to the very atheistic principles of the communist government, you know. So it was therefore left to the church in the diaspora to proclaim his proper place among the saints. And Archbishop John Maximovich of San Francisco was one of the strongest advocates for this from among the hierarchs. Metropolitan Anastasi, prompted by a letter he received from Archbishop John's friend from Serbia, the Holy Hierarch St. Nikolai Velimirovich, had formed a canonization committee under Archbishop John's chairmanship. Archbishop John went to the hierarchs of the other Orthodox churches in the free world, asking them to perform a joint canonization of Father John of Kronstadt. But for various reasons, they did not feel free to do so. Undaunted, Archbishop John went forward with the preparations, composing hymns in honor of his beloved Father John to be sung at the canonization. Father John of Kronstadt, because he was a tireless missionary, a father and feeder of the oppressed, and a worker of abundant miracles, had much in common with Archbishop John, and it was only appropriate that one of the 20th century's greatest saints should work for the glorification of another of the greatest saints. The future Father Seraphim Rose also took part, writing two articles on Father John of Kronstadt to be printed in the magazine Orthodox Tidings. On the evening before Sunday, November 1st, Archbishop John celebrated the solemn canonization service. This was the first canonization of a Russian saint since the revolution, an act of the church in the free world that would give hope to those in the enslaved Russian homeland. To Archbishop John's great sorrow, however, a number of people were absent from the service. It turned out that they had organized a Halloween masquerade ball on that very night. After the service, Vladika John went to the place where the ball was still in progress. He climbed the steps and entered the hall to the absolute astonishment of the participants. The music stopped, and Vladika, in complete silence, glared at the dumbfounded people. Slowly and deliberately making the round of the entire hall, staff in hand, he spoke not a word, and none was necessary. The mere sight of Vladika stung the conscience of all, as was evident from the general consternation Vladika left in silence. And the next day, in church, he thundered his holy indignation and his flaming zeal, calling all to the devout Christian life. So, St. John of Kronstadt is truly a saint for our times in these last days. And, you know, the world admires Mother Teresa of Calcutta very much because, you know, she ministered to the poor and helped the poor. But St. John of Kronstadt actually did the very same thing. To a great extent in Russia as an Orthodox saint. And so we pray this day that Most Holy St. John of Kronstadt, that you would pray to God for us and help us by your prayers to learn how to love God more fully and teach us the way of repentance that our souls may be saved. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.